The difference is here that what you've got is what I called in a previous lecture, a web of interconnectedness, probably of common religious beliefs, certain loose structures of government, hierarchies of settlement, extending over this huge 500,000 square mile area. But the actual tight core was much smaller. And it was in these areas, the core area, that like Sumerians, the Harappans adopted the city as a way of operating and controlling their society. The archaeology of the Harappan has been studied sporadically over the last three quarters of a century. We know now that there are at least five major Harappan cities, of which two, Harappa and Mohenjo-daro, are by far the best known. Both were excavated in the 20s, again in the 40s and 50s by the great British archaeologist Mortimer Wheeler, and there has been sporadic work, and some is continuing at this time, which improves constantly our knowledge of two of the most remarkable cities of antiquity. Each of them built on artificial mounds erected at enormous cost above the river flood level. This was not an easy place to build and maintain a city. The largest Harappan city is Mohenjo-daro, six times the size of Harappa, and rebuilt at least nine times, each time building on the earlier levels. It's thought that about 40 to 50,000 people may have lived at Harappa, about 23,500 40 to 50,000 may have lived at Mohenjo-daro, about 23,500 at Harappa. A large citadel rises at the west end of each city, dominating a grid of narrow city streets lined with standardized brick houses. Mohenjo-daro's citadel rises 40 feet above the plain and is protected by massive flood embankments and a perimeter wall, which must have been built at enormous cost. The public buildings on its summit include a pillared temple, perhaps where the ruler gave audience to petitioners and visiting officials. There were no very elaborate temples or palaces, merely a ceremonial bath lined with bitumen and surrounded by a colonnade. It appears that ceremonial bathing was an important part of late South Indian rituals. The citadels looked down on a complex of at least partially planned streets. The more spacious dwellings, perhaps those of nobility, merchants, and high officials, were built around courtyards, some even with two or three stories. Rows of one-story tenements housed thousands of commoners close to the bazaar and the artisans' workshops. Like Egypt, like Mesopotamia again, society seems to have been a social pyramid. But we still know very little about the Harappans. We do not know the names of the rulers who presided over their cities, nor do we understand the intricate links between the cities and lesser settlements. Of the five major Harappan cities, only three of them, including Harappa and Mohenjo-daro, were the size of Sumerian Uruk in Mesopotamia. While the Sumerians were predominantly urban dwellers, crowded into densely inhabited cities, most Harappans lived in villages. They were village farmers dwelling in settlements that interacted constantly with their neighbors. Everything points to some form of stratified society and centralized government. But unlike the Mesopotamians or the Egyptians, the Harappan rulers never boasted grandiloquently of their conquests and deeds on palace and temple walls. They seem to have lived unostentatious lives, marked by a complete lack of lavish public display, a remarkable contrast with other civilizations of the day. One is reminded a little bit of the Minoans, who also seem to have been relatively self-effacing. One reason we know so little about the Harappans is that their script has never been deciphered, despite intensive efforts and the use of computers. There are at least 400 pictographic symbols in Harappan script, but we do not know what language they depict. But we do know from these computer analyses that the script was a mixture of sounds and concepts, just like Egyptian hieroglyphs.